At this time, screw your courage to the sticking place as the most powerful men in Canada discuss top tech. This week, hardware upgrades.
So what are we going to talk about today, Ian and or Beege?
I think we should talk about self-repair.
Self-repair?
Self-repair and upgrading.
Oh, you don't mean like animals that can regenerate parts of their limbs. You mean doing things yourself. So you're talking about like replacing your hard drive with an SSD, upgrading your RAM, that kind of thing?
Exactly, and certainly not the alternative, which is when a T-1000, you know, shoots off your arm, you just, you know, melt down your liquid metal endoskeleton and create a new one.
Indeed. We're not promoting that or explaining to you how you can do that.
So play safe.
Play safe. And it's an interesting topic, of course, because it's timely with all the arguments about the new Retina MacBook Pro and how it is, iFixit, of course, declared that it was untenable how hard it is to repair, recycle, and upgrade it, and how the industry is moving in a way that geeks don't like because these laptops are unupgradable and they're moving to proprietary technology and you can't upgrade them and computers are all becoming disposable things.
It's interesting that we've seen a swing in that sort of attitude over the past, I'd say the past 30 years.
What gets me is that because computers have always been the realm of the geek, and let's be honest, all of us are strong with a DIY aesthetic. You know, I mean, I like to work on my car. If I'm going to do home repair, I'm going to do it myself. Ian, you and I installed a floor at your place. Let's be more honest. I assisted Ian while he installed the floor at his place.
Thank you, Beege.
We've come to that fairly strong. The idea that I want to pick and choose all my parts and put all this stuff together. I mean, I'm still running a mid tower in my house that has a bunch of parts in it. And yet I also use an iPhone. Why are they so different? Because the iPhone is a phone and it goes in my pocket and my computer is supposed to be a big bulky box thing that sits on my desk.
But I think you hit it right there. We're DIY geeks and the industry is definitely moving more to that dedicated complete package that provides a service and is useful to consumers for some function. Most of those consumers who weren't the market for this kind of technology and now clearly are, have no interest in digging around under the hood and making it work.
Well, let's examine that for a second. I think for the most part of most of history, most people aren't interested in fixing things that break on them or changing things that break on them. You know, you get your mixer and it works until it breaks and then you get a new mixer.
Or you get someone else to fix it for you. But you're right. Most people do not want to fix their own stuff.
Yeah. The TV repairman, right? You would buy a TV and then the TV repairman would come to your house and would fix it. I don't think there are TV repairmen left who would come to your house. Like you can still find a TV repairman to take him a TV. But more often than not, your TV breaks. You go back to the place that you bought it from or you call the 1-800 number and you say, my TV broke. What do now? And they'll be like, oh, we'll take it back to wherever, and they'll give you another one or bring it to an authorized repair facility or whatever, and we'll look after that kind of thing. But it's gotten to the point beyond that now where if something breaks, a lot of people are just more willing to say, oh, screw it, throw it out, buy the new, better thing, because we're iterating so fast that the new, better thing comes out really, really quickly. So if my phone breaks, it's like, well, do I take it and get it repaired, or would I just kind of suck it up and say, oh, it's worth me spending $300 or $400 or $600 on the new, better thing?
And let's be clear, there are some things that you actually can repair and some things that you can't. And when it comes to things like, say, your phone, well, if something inside of it breaks, if the battery, I don't even want to say the battery, because you can replace the battery too if you take the time to just go to iFixit and learn how to unscrew your phone, know where to get a new battery, and pop it in.
If you're driven enough to do the work, these kind of things eventually are fixable. And it is kind of weird to me to know that the newer stuff I'm going to buy in the future, like if I buy the new MacBook Pro with the Retina display, that is, right now people are saying, oh my goodness, it's not meant to be taken apart. Well, the MacBook Airs were really not meant to be taken apart anyway. You bought a MacBook Air sealed and people were like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. But ultimately, Well, to make it tiny and thin and cute and light, and to put a really big battery in it, and to put, you know, better hard drives and everything, to put more hard drive space in it, they had to make a lot of compromises. One of those compromises was you buy it set at the factory. Everything comes soldered on the board. When the iPhone came out, they're like, people were saying, well, this will never fly because, you know, I need to be able to replace my battery in the back. And they said, well, maybe you don't need to replace your battery because we can put a bigger battery in the back and it'll run for the 8 to 10 to 14 hours a day you need it to be useful.
Yeah, well, and then there's another component to that, of course, as well, is that the idea of the planned obsolescence, right? Like of equipment becoming harder and harder to maintain and it breaks down on you. I think the way that technology moves isn't a planned obsolescence through the equipment not being able to last very long or having a built-in expiry date, as they say, but more so by consumer demand driven by an interest in the newer technology. So, you know, you bought a really lovely camera that was exceptionally well made in the 60s. Well, if that broke, you're going to fix it because you bought a good camera that it's probably not going to have something that's better than it in 5 to 10 years afterwards. It's probably going to be cameras that are going to be very similar, and you bought a good camera and you really like it and it's well made. It's worth fixing. Well, you can buy really well made consumer electronics right now, but within a couple of years, because of the speed at which advances are being made in microelectronics and battery technology and screen technology and all sorts of other elements of technology are moving so quickly that it becomes less interesting to repair and fix and keep on using those things, even though that they're well made, because there's so much better that's available that can do so many more things.
So what happens when your device that you have doesn't do any some of those new things or doesn't or has an ability to be upgraded, let's say?
Even being able to, well, Ian, you have an iMac.
Yes, I do. And that's a sealed piece of metal, Beach.
Traditional iMacs, though, the CRT ones, the ones that had the big bulbous fruity-looking ones, you could pop the door on the back, right? You could shove some more RAM in that thing.
There was a tiny door that you could open up to put some RAM in, yep.
There was some iMacs and eMacs that were very, very difficult. I remember the first few generations of iMacs, you had to take the whole thing apart to get at the RAM. They didn't have a little door at first. You know, they built the thing and they wanted to make it sexy and cute and they didn't really care about upgradability. They wanted everything to fit into that small little dome. And so you had to take like the processor daughter card out to get at the RAM. It was really awkward. And there's a couple of models of the eMac where you had to actually take the CRT apart in order to get to it. But anyway, sorry.
Now, is your iMac that you have now, Ian, I think is like a 2010 or a 2011 model. And it's the big one, the 27-inch screen.
27-inch, yeah.
Yeah, does it have a door on it to let you put new RAM in it?
It does, actually. I've used that door a couple of times.
Okay, so does it have a door on it to allow you to replace your hard drive?
No, actually, that little thing at the bottom of the screen that pops open with three screws is the only way of getting into it.
And that's just for RAM, because that was kind of, it was a decision made that we know this is something that people will want to upgrade in the future because they don't want to spend the extra $400, $600 at the factory to put all this extra RAM in, but when the RAM price drops, they'll bump it up. And so modern laptops, I mean, laptops that I worked on the last several years, they have all the little panels and stuff that you can unscrew off the bottom, or you can pop the keyboards out. And some people may not know that actually in some models, there are ones that'll say, oh yeah, just get a couple little screwdrivers and push down these latches, the keyboard will pop up and you can pull the keyboard out and you can replace whatever. That's kind of the going thing. But these laptops were like an inch or more thick, and they could afford to have connectors so you can put in a new daughter card, like a new wireless card or some more RAM. And they could afford to have a slot that was a certain thickness so you could put a hard drive in and take it out and put in a bigger hard drive and take it out. And the idea behind that was to standardize hardware so that everything was a certain way. Nowadays, people are looking at Ultrabooks. They're looking at MacBook Airs. And they're saying, well, why? I want a laptop that is that thin. I want a laptop that's that light. And they said, well, then there's some trade-offs we have to make. Now people are coming around the other side of it. There's all these fans of Apple hardware saying that, well, we don't want that. We want something that we can... And I'm thinking, well, guys, you still kind of have that. The iMac allows a little bit of upgrade. The Mac Pros allow a ton of upgrade. The Mac Minis, what, is somewhere in between. You can get into it far enough, you can take a hard drive out without too much hassle, is my understanding. the laptops are completely different now. The laptops are all going to come very sealed. They're all going to come from the factory, made to be a certain way. And they're all following what to me seems like an awful lot like the success of the iPhone and the iPad is. And I'm sure that's what happened. In this case, Apple looked at that and said, hey, this is a big advantage for us. And because Apple is certainly leading in that area, where they're saying we're going to put in sealed batteries and we're going to put in sealed RAM that is soldered to the board, and we're going to solder the processors to the board, and we're going to, you know, go back way, way back to how computers used to be made, where stuff was being soldered directly onto the board as opposed to saying we have sockets that we can trade stuff in and out of. They're saying, no, forget it. We can solder stuff to the board almost as fast as it would take us to solder a socket and then pop something in there. Why go through the hassle of doing anything else? We're making enough of these things as it is. And because of the popularity of that, all of the other PC companies are going to follow in lockstep. They're going to say, well, people are buying these Apples and they're sealed up and they don't have whatever. Why don't we just start doing that ourselves?
Oh boy, okay. This went in a completely different direction than I thought it was going to. And now I have to step in here and actually defend, God, I hate doing this, defend the choices that are made when it comes to actually soldering things onto the motherboard. These decisions aren't being made for planned obsolescence, and they're being made for the sake of keeping users out of these devices. What they're being done for is to benefit the average user. The reason you solder a chip directly to the motherboard is not because they don't want you to upgrade the RAM. It's because by doing that, you don't have to have those extra 8 to 4 millimeters of space for the socket or for the RAM socket. Or for the latch for the battery by taking.
No, but I promise that's the point I'm trying to make too. This ultimately benefits people, and we're going to see that move in more of that direction too. It ultimately benefits average users.
What I was trying to make originally as a point was that there is still the ability to make changes to hardware these days,
like after the fact, after you've bought the product.
Yeah, after you bought the product. And there is the ability to repair things. When I was saying earlier about the iMac being a sealed piece of glass and metal, is not the case. You can get into this thing if you actually want to, and if you're willing to take the responsibility and the risk of doing it.
It's if you're driven enough, you can get into anything.
And there's a lot you can still do with it.
And not afraid of breaking glass.
Yes.
Okay, well, example then. What could you possibly do to your iMac?
Tell
would
us,
benefit?
Upgrader Ian.
Perfect example. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a major scare in my computer about a dead hard drive. Turned out it was just some problems with the file system. It needed a reformat. Always back up, kids. That way these aren't emergencies. But I thought, okay, when this happened, you know, I got a new iMac at work the other day that has a new solid state hard drive. Much, much faster. And I thought, why not throw one of these into my machine at home? Can I do that? Well, it turns out, yes, I can actually pull the optical drive out of my iMac and replace it with a solid state drive. If I'd needed to, I could have replaced the original hard drive in it. Turns out, I can actually replace the goddamn processor in my machine.
Really? That's surprising.
So if you're willing to put in what I'm assuming is a 2 or 3 hour job, because the processors are still sitting in sockets, you could actually buy the highest spec processor for your motherboard and pop that in if you wanted to.
Yes, you can. And actually, at least for the job I did, if I'd done it right, it wouldn't have been a 3 hour job. To replace the optical drive with an SSD in this machine, we're talking half an hour maximum.
And in that case, you don't have to be an expert with disassembly and stuff. You don't need guitar picks to act as little spudgers to lift the screen off. You don't need suction cups. You don't need a whole bunch of. You just need some.
I used my library card to pry the glass off the magnets on the front.
Okay.
Used a Torx 10 screwdriver to undo 8 screws that hold the monitor on, pulled the monitor up gently, disconnected a couple cables, unscrewed 4 more screws to pull out the optical drive.
Oh, wow.
Swapped it out with another drive, screwed everything back up, and then the power didn't turn on.
Yeah,
but that's because I didn't follow the instructions properly and put in the cable backwards.
Well, and you mentioned iFixit. I imagine that's where you went to get your instructions to do this in the first place.
And that's exactly where I went. And it is a wealth of information there.
I use the exact same website, ifixit.com, to replace the optical drive in my Mac Pro laptop.
And you're a professional too, aren't you?
Professional? Yeah, well, I am Apple certified, but I'm not Apple certified in hardware repair.
I think what this can demonstrate, though, is that you don't have to be an expert in making these things. Because, Ian, you didn't make your iMac from scratch. You bought that at a store. All you have to be good at is just be careful and have a little bit of dexterity so you can, you know, undo screws and whatever. And you can come out the other side of that with a screaming fast solid state drive in your computer, using that as your boot drive instead of your hard drive. People look at a computer, we all know this, people always look at computers, PCs or Macs or whatever, and they think of them as black boxes. They think of them as a cable goes in, stuff shows up on my screen, and anything that goes on inside of it, I'm not supposed to know anything about. But ultimately, you know, once it falls out of warranty, you don't have to be that scared of it. There is an opportunity to make upgrades on your own.
And I think, Beej, you hit the nail on the head. Something that we as the most powerful men in Canada, espouse to all of our listeners on every show is don't be scared of technology.
Yep. And I think another thing to take away from this is neither of us knew how to do this beforehand. No one told us how to do this. We weren't fearful of it. We looked it up. We did the research, and we were able to do it. So don't be afraid of your technology. And look this up, ask some questions, and you too can probably upgrade a lot of the hardware you have if that's something you'd like to do, and it's not something you have to be afraid of. So, for the most powerful men in Canada, I'm Johnny Blakeborough.
I'm Ian Horner.
And I once replaced a backlight on an LCD in a very old laptop. It took me 3 hours. I'm Brendan Beej-Deary.
Thanks for joining us.
The most powerful men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.